That is a Max Scherzer, we beat the Astros growl. Momo, what's going on?
Oh, Mace, I have a confession to make.
Oh, no. What is it?
Okay. For the first time in almost my entire life as a sports going person.
Yes.
I left the game early.
No, 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 no.
I did.
No.
How early?
Real early.
Real? What's real early?
I left after the top of the eighth.
Well, that's what happens when you go with a four-year-old, right?
I know. I went with my friend and her six-year-old son, and the Dodgers were up like by four runs. We saw the last Altuve strikeout. That was very satisfying. Four strikeouts for Altuve.
Yeah.
Four. And I said, you know what? They got a four-run lead. It took us like an hour and a half to get in the parking lot. It's going to take even longer to get out. Let's go. I never do this.
Mama, I'm so disappointed in you.
Think of the children. But you know
children.
What? I'm telling you, Mace, we were in the car listening on the drive home. We're on the 101.
Yep.
And her son, Noah, okay?
Yep.
Sitting in the back seat. And I said, Noah, I just want you to know you're not supposed to leave early. This is wrong. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. It's just kind of late, and we thought we would get you home by 11.
Do as I say, don't do as I do.
And then Kenley started to blow the save, and I looked at my friend. I go, this is why we don't leave early. I cannot believe we left early. And I was like, we can never live this down if he blows this. We will not be allowed back in the stadium.
But he did.
Oh, thank gosh.
But he did it. You know, we were, by the way, Roger Pouyant, who was there with us, won the tickets on the show. Great dude. He's a physical therapist. He was there with his sister. I think it's Kathleen. We had a really good time. Jorge was there. Laura Romo was there. Jorge, I thought, all in all, a very successful night.
Very, very successful, man. You showing up and you leaving at the end of the game, me catching you on video. I showed proof that. You proved everybody wrong yesterday.
Yes, I proved everybody wrong. I don't know.
The only thing that would make it better is if I were there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I asked about you.
Yeah, here.
I did say it would have been cool if Lindsay was here.
Yeah. I'm next time. We'll go when I get back. I'll be back in Ohio in a few weeks, so we'll go before the season.
I mean, nobody asked about Greg.
Nobody asked about Bergman.
Nobody did.
I invited Bergman to go, and Bergman was doing training camp down in Irvine, so he couldn't go.
He would have been fun.
I guess we don't really want management there, right? We don't want Bergman. We don't want Boss Amanda. We don't want Lindsay, who claims to be management. Yeah. I never even realized that until this week.
Oh, listen, I had a blast hanging out with management, with Bergman and Amanda and Chris Morales. And I hope that you have just as much fun when you hang out with them tonight.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. I'm nervous.
I was going to ask, are you nervous?
I'm nervous. I'm having dinner with the management folks, Boss Amanda and Chris Morales, who I guess is Chris Morales management?
It feels like he is.
Why not? I mean, he's a pretty high-level consultant, so
he's high-level. And honestly, I think this might be it. I think tonight is the night they drop the axe.
You're done?
Yeah, I think this might
playbook
be my last
handed
show.
In?
Yeah.
Well, let's make it a good one then.
Yeah, we're going to make this a good show.
Order the most expensive thing on the menu then.
Yeah, exactly. I am going to. For some reason, I think I'm expected to pick up the check. Am I expected to pick up the check or is management picking up the check?
Oh, wait, who invited who?
Because then the management is supposed to pick up the check because they have the corporate card. That's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, okay, good. So it's an expensive restaurant. So they picked it out. And I think they're just going to let me down easy.
Since you don't want to say it on the air, text me because I want to know.
Oh, what restaurant it is?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know if it's nice. Just because, you know, I feel a little slighted if they took you to a nicer restaurant than me. But you are talent, so they do kind of want to wine and dine you. I get it.
I will actually tomorrow talk about the restaurant. It is one of the coolest restaurants in L.A., and I'll explain why tomorrow. Hey, how about Max Scherzer, huh?
Whoa!
7 innings, 10 Ks, unbelievable debut. And I thought the coolest thing in the world was Dodger fans on their feet when Max Scherzer left the game and called for the curtain call. And apparently Max said after the game, Kershaw said, give the people what they want. So he came out. He tipped his hat. Crowd went nuts. I just cannot believe we've got Max Scherzer. We've got Max Scherzer. The Padres don't. The Giants don't. We've got Mad Max. And he was lights out last night.
He was so good. He was so good. 10 strikeouts?
Yeah.
And you know what was great? Like, he gives up a home run in the first when we were all sitting in traffic trying to get inside.
Yes, right? Correct.
I really did leave on time, and we really were sitting in traffic forever because there was, like, the largest crowd since the pandemic hit. Does that sound like a...
Yeah, I guess it was on par with Tuesday night. Tuesday
yeah, 53,000 people.
Pandemic. Yeah,
so he gives up a home run in the first inning. We're like, oh, no. Oh, this isn't going well. Then he just totally settled in.
Yeah, settled in. Mookie Four struck back right away. I thought that was really important that Mookie hit that first inning home run
first
just
inning
to
home
even
run.
It up.
Yeah, even
and
it
then
up.
My boy, Will Smith.
Your boy.
My boy, Kenley, was a little shaky last night.
I got something for you on Kenley. I got something.
Okay, go ahead.
When we get to that topic.
By the way, Laura and Jorge, the moment they brought him in, they were like, oh, God, not Kenley. Oh, please, not Kenley.
I'm not going to lie. I was.
Oh, you were. You had your head in your hands.
I took off my hat, covered my face. I was like, what are we doing?
Then Laura had her hands over her eyes. I'm like, it's too much.
You know what?
Much,
I think
guys.
You're too social media. I think you, like, social media makes you think that everything is moment to moment. And baseball is about the long game. And Kenley is all I got in touch with him a little bit after the game. He's fine.
Oh, did you? You got in touch with Kenley after the game?
He said his timing's a little off. He's going to fix it. He's fine.
His velocity was a little bit off. He was
because
hitting
his
like
timing.
91.
Look,
he was
the guy's
not
like
6'5".
When he gets just a little bit off timing-wise, he's not as sharp. But he's going to
fix
it.
But here's the problem. Five innings, 13 in his last five appearances, 13 hits, 10 earned runs, 9 walks, 10 strikeouts, and an 18 ERA.
Yeah, I know. It's not great, but his timing's a little off. Was he hurt? No, he's fine. His timing's a little off. Like, he's a big guy, so when you get just a little bit of timing off in your motion and your it can throw you all off. But he settled in. He got 3 straight strikeouts to close out the game. It was fine.
Yeah, I wanted to stick up for Kenley once again. I don't understand why hitters are allowed to get a slump. Like Cody Bellinger has been in a slump most of the season.
Yeah.
Had a big double last night. But, you know, Cody doesn't get any crap. But if a relief pitcher goes for a slump, it's completely different.
That's
Kenley's
the
in a slump.
He's in a slump. Yeah, a little bit, but I was glad to know that it wasn't an injury. It's not a confidence issue. His timing and his motion is off a little bit. It's just a mechanics thing. He's fixing it.
You know, the other thing, Momo, is it's different when a closer comes into the game with a big lead.
Yeah.
You just throw strikes. I'm just going to throw strikes. You can only hurt me so much. Yep. We're up 7. I think we're up 7-3 at that point when he came in. Kelly gave up the home run to Correa in the 8th, and then Kenley came in 7-3. You know, you give up what you give up. He gave up, you know, he threw the ball down the middle knowing that we had a comfortable lead and happened to give up a home run. I'm not worried about Kenley. I know everybody else is. I know everybody else is freaked out. 877-710-ESPN. I know you're all freaked out.
I'm telling you, his mental game, Steve, is like unbelievable right now. I mean, when they were booing him, he was fine. He told me he hasn't checked social media since they won the World Series. He's not been on. Doesn't check his mentions
at all.
Well,
that's smart. That's
doesn't
smart.
Check his mentions, doesn't hear it. He's disappointed in the boos, but also he said the boos are the same as the cheers. You can't go high or low with those. Like, you can't let that in. You just have a job to do. Like, he's in a really good place mentally.
Although, you know what? Last night, I thought there were boos when Kenley was in, but the boos I heard were for the umpires. Like, the guy behind me was yelling, come on, Blue! That's a strike! I was getting a lot of that stuff. I was not getting boo on Kenley. But there were definitely boos in the building.
Yes, because nobody has any patience. Nobody has any long view. Baseball is about the long view. And to be a great closer, it means it's not about just being able to get the out in the World Series. It's about being able to come back and get an out after you give up a home run. After you give up a home run, the most humiliating thing a reliever can do, right? And especially if it's a decisive home run. But if you can come back and then strike out the side, that's really good mental toughness.
Well, and a lot of people say, I mean, this is just social media. The Dodgers did get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner at the deadline, along with Danny Duffy, who will ultimately pitch. But they really didn't do anything to fortify the bullpen. Like, there are people who were greedy and said, we should have got Craig Kimbrell, too.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Kimbrell would have been the key to the rest of the run. I'm comfortable with this team, but I'll tell you what. You can win the trade deadline and not win the division. They've got a, you know, last night was a good win against a quality team. They got the Angels coming in this weekend for a three-game series. You got to win baseball games right now. And yes, we did. We did really add to our fight right now with Trey Turner and Max Scherzer and those guys. But you've got to win baseball games.
Mace, don't you feel like they help the bullpen by fortifying the starting rotation? Because guys like Gonsolin, they can go to the bullpen. David Price, they can just be bullpen. And you're probably going to need three, maybe four starters at the most.
Correct.
So your other really good starters can go to the bullpen. The ones you don't have room for.
Well, like, you know, I mean, Julio Urias last year was on the mound when we won it all.
No, I'd rather have him start this year. But
yeah, I mean, he's awesome. He's a machine this year. Unbelievable. That's Jorge. You wore your Julio Urias jersey, and so did Laura.
So did
both
Laura,
of you guys.
We both did. Represent our guy, you know?
Exactly. Your guy. And last night, let's see, what was Laura? Laura's drinking margarita, right? And you're drinking Michelada.
Yeah, the one you bought me, you came up. Thank you.
I was a Bud Light girl.
You were a Bud Light girl?
Classy.
Yeah,
you saw me with the tall boy.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it.
Didn't.
And you know,
it's you know what? By the time you get down to like the last third of it, it's cold.
Warm.
It's warm.
Yeah, I know.
Mace, what did you drink?
I just drank a Diet Coke because I was driving. But I had my helmet nachos.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I killed those helmet nachos. Extra jalapenos, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Love that.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to picture you at
no,
night.
No, he did. I was there when he said extra jalapenos.
I had cheese all over me. I said. And I had a Kershaw jersey. I ended up with a Kershaw
Where'd
jersey
you get
last
that?
Night. I actually had it in the closet all along.
Nice.
I didn't realize I had it, and I go to get dressed. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got a Kershaw jersey. I'll wear that.
Perfect.
So I wore the Kershaw jersey last night. And Kershaw, by the way, it's a little dicey now. We can't seem to get a read on when Kershaw is going to be back or how healthy he is or, you know, is he going out on a rehab? None of that stuff. And then you sign Cole Hamels to potentially fortify the rotation, and you're wondering, oh, man, are they – planning on making this run without Kershaw? I mean, I can't imagine he'll be back until September at this point.
At some point he comes back, but I don't think you mess around with an injury like that. Whenever I hear forearm inflammation, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I wanted to get a weather report in. We got a brand new weatherman.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
No. Tell me.
Yeah, we got Kiki doing traffic, and now we've got a brand new weatherman. Jorge, hit that.
Hit what?
This is Bill Belichick.
Oh,
at his press conference yesterday.
This is so good.
Talking about the weather.
Hey, Bill, obviously you guys are no strangers to working in this kind of weather, but always good to get a little refresher for us. What are some of the benefits to working in conditions like the ones you'll see today? And might they impact the kinds of things that you can work on in practice?
Yeah. Well, again, whatever it is, it is. I can't control that. So, looks like the field will be wet. If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, if it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, then that's what it is. So, you know.
He could care less. Man. He could care less. I love that.
If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, if it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, then that's what it is. So.
And there's your weather forecast.
That was
for
so good.
Here in Los Angeles.
If it's hot, it's hot. If not, it's not.
If it's not, it's not. Hey, I wanted to play something. And Will, 877-710-ESPN, were you there last night? I guess my understanding is the fans were better behaved last night than they were the night before when people were throwing
foul balls
out and all this stuff. What's that?
It wasn't so good last night.
What do you mean it wasn't so good?
The guy
last
in right
night.
Field who threw the beer at the Astros right fielder,
yeah.
That wasn't cool.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool.
I mean, the trash cans on the field, it's not, you know, you're not supposed to do that, but it was kind of
somebody
funny.
Threw a trash can. Yeah. Jorge, you said this was before I got there. Somebody threw an actual trash can lid onto the field.
A couple of them, yeah.
How do you get a trash innings. Can lid in through security?
I have no idea.
They probably pulled one off somewhere in the ballpark, right?
You don't normally see trash can lids, right?
In a ballpark. You're probably right.
It's usually the.
You know what? I bet they probably had somebody hand it to him through the fence.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Yep, that's true. A good idea. That's
I saw before the game, ESPN's Twitter or Instagram account posted there was a little kid who was probably 2 or 3 years old that was walking through the gates of the game dressed as a Houston Astros trash can.
Oh, that was Tuesday. That was for the Tuesday game. Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand. That's funny.
How you had to blow it up inside the stadium because I was the idiot who brought my purse to the game, and they were like, "Oh, your purse is too big. You got to take it back."
Well, at this point, don't you realize you have to bring a clear bag? I mean, every event I go to, it's everybody has a clear bag.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah,
get
I think Brenda went to the same thing at an LAFC game. Like, we use a locker that they offer.
Because Momo, you're used to going as press, and clear bag rule.
No,
for the press.
We can bring our backpack and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, great night last night, and thanks again to Roger. Cool guy. Had fun. 877-710-ESPN. Were you there? And I'll tell you what. I think Max Scherzer solidifies our run to the division title.
That guy
solidifies
good.
Our run to the division title. He was a machine last night. Also coming up next, I want to play something from Joey Votto. Cincinnati Reds first baseman, about the Astros and what happened in 2017. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for John Seven.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 ESPN. And Ireland will finally get a chance to react to Russell Westbrook, his favorite player in the league. And I'm going to quote him right now. He plays like a human video game. He goes 100 miles an hour like his hair is on fire. That's what he's always said about Russell Westbrook. Of course, he'll react to Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony, Wayne Ellington, all those guys tomorrow. So I'm excited to have John back as all these deals become final at some point. Tomorrow. Momo's in for John today. Let's quick go to Danny in Burbank. Danny, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, Mason? Momo?
What's going on?
Jorge, ¿qué pasó?
Hey, ¿qué pasó, amigo?
Nada. Hey, Mace, Momo, why do you guys keep defending Kenley all the time? He's always coming to the game. He's almost blowing leads. I mean, it's horrible. Did you guys defend Broxton? When he used to come in games and blow games like that,
I don't remember. Momo, how was Broxton had his share of saves, right?
He was really good for a while.
Until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't, and then he was really done.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about Kenley at all. I feel like he gets off a little in his mechanics sometimes. I thought last year was more of a weird COVID year for him. He's adapted really well to being a low 90s pitcher. He's become a lot more of a pitcher
this year. I saw him at 94. I know. I've seen him at 94. I've
he
seen
can
him
get
at
there. He can. He can get guys out at 94, 95, and it's fine if he's at 90 or 91 because he's really locating the ball very well. I just think it really is with Ken. I can't stress this enough. This is a guy who has a gift from God, and that is called his cutter. Okay. This guy, he was a catcher. He went out there to learn how to start pitching one day, and Charlie Huff was his pitching coach and said, Kenley, just throw the ball as hard as you can at the catcher. And he goes, okay. He threw a fastball, and it had a natural cut to it. It's just a natural cutter. He knows how to locate it now. He's got a couple other pitches that he places really well, but he's 6'5". So when you just get a little off in your timing, sometimes you fall behind a little bit. There's nothing physically wrong with him. He's fine. He's just
you know
a little
what's
off.
Weird is when you're at the game, like we were all last night, you can't really – and I thought we were in the right field pavilion. I advertised we're going to be in the right field pavilion. Then we ended up being in the third deck by the foul line, by the right field foul line. I thought we were going to be like near the home run seats in that ballpark. Jorge, were you disappointed when you arrived at the seat? Because you started out in the right field pavilion, then they said, get out of here.
Yeah, I sat in one of the benches and I said, I don't see my 56 section, whatever it is. I just sat there and then somebody said, hey, man, this is my seat. And I was like, you might want to check your ticket. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And then I asked, they told me elevator, seventh floor. And I was like, hey, not bad. We're sitting up there with the people. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I was dizzy up there. I was really, honestly, those are not the worst seats in the house, but pretty close to them. And like I went up there and I'm a little afraid of heights. So you were in the farthest corner down the right field line.
Correct.
And when I first went over there, there was like, I think section 60 is the furthest. And it's right next to 56 where you were.
Uh-huh.
So I went over to 60 and I was walking down the edge of the park and I got like, physically nervous because of how high it is and where the ledge is.
It is straight down.
Oh my gosh.
Steep.
The first time I ever went to Dodger Stadium, I had seats there and I felt the same way. I had to like go down and like find a seat on the lower concourse because I couldn't sit up there. It freaked me out too much.
Yeah, it was really scary.
Yeah, I was so proud of myself after the game. I told Jorge I was leaving. I left right after the game. You guys waited a little bit because traffic, you know, Dodger Stadium.
Terrible.
But I was so nervous about trying to find my car. I have lost my car at Dodger Stadium so many times, and I was way out there.
What time did you guys get
out
home?
There.
I got home at, go ahead, Mace.
I got home about 11:20.
Not too bad.
No, not bad. How about you, Jorge?
11:45-ish around there?
11:45, you hung out there.
Well,
a
I stuck around for a little bit because I went to the shop and whatnot. Stuck around.
Yeah, because what's the point? Dodger traffic is just the worst. The Dodger parking lot, and
it's
I don't
so bad.
Think there's anything they can do.
No.
Right? They've tried everything. I don't think there's
the
anything
only thing
they can
do. Is do a subway.
A subway, or they're talking about, I mean, there's that report all the time that there's going to be a gondola.
That would be great. I would take
a
gondola.
Which would be cool.
That'd be cool. People go on dates on that. That'd be fun.
The other thing is,
it's like a Palm Springs tram.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
People can Uber, but I've heard that the ride share after the game is terrible.
Oh, it can be really bad. You know,
so it depends, though, because it's gotten better. They did a similar thing to what they've done at LAX, where they have, you know, a whole area planned out where they've got stations like A1, B1, C, you know, all that stuff. Everything's labeled with a section.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're getting ready to leave the game, you call the Uber and then it tells you what section to go to. And then that links you up with the Uber driver in that section and everybody's happy.
Okay.
I think that they finally figured it out because they took a note from the airport. Module.
I know they're doing it at the new Rams Stadium at SoFi. I know they're doing a rideshare situation, and it's supposed to be better. It's supposed to be you just walk up, take the first Uber. Which, by the way, why do you have to search your driver when you're?
I know.
Let me see. I'm looking for a white Corolla, and it's driven by Todd.
Marcus.
Yeah, you're right. They should do something.
Totally.
They should do something where you can just like click phones or something, or you can like connect on Bluetooth or whatever. They can text you a code and you could be like, oh, you're you? Okay, cool. Let's ride. Put in the address.
See, I took an Uber to Sunset and Vince Scully Avenue or drive.
And then you walk the hill.
That's what I did too.
That's all.
Just walk down the hill.
You avoid traffic and all that stuff. So.
That's a good way to go. That's a good way. Okay, I wanted to play this Joey Votto sound. Now, Joey Votto was on another show today, and he was asked about the Astros and the booing and the cheating of 2017. Mm-hmm. Jorge, go ahead and let that rip.
Do we move on from the Astros booing?
Yeah, there's no question about it. The idea that they were the only one doing something wrong just baffles me. But, you know, I agree with you completely.
But if Altuve gets to first base?
Yes, very fond of him. I like him a lot.
What kind of conversation do you have?
I've had lots of conversations with him. We talk about hitting almost entirely.
But no garbage can mentions. Like, you can't even have a little subtle dig, can you?
No, because he came out and said that, listen, he came out and said that he had no part in it. And I have to believe a person.
Why?
Based on, you know, if they, I'm assuming he's telling the truth, so I'm going to believe him. And then we move on from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you assume he's telling the truth? Why is that assumption made? He batted .347 that year and won the MVP. Why do you, and you know, and has had good years since, but is in the low 300. Why would you take his word?
Let me just
Joey
tell
Votto?
You what I heard when Joey Votto answered that question.
Okay.
You can't believe that they're the only team that was doing some things back in those days.
That's what I think.
That's all I heard.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, essentially he's saying, you, whenever you use those qualifying hedgy words that he did there, you have to believe or you can't always, you know. That means that he knows, because I'm a professional hedger as well. Like, a lot of times when I say things on air, it's because I know something, but I can't say it all the way yet because you don't have the reporting all the way, or three or four sources or whatever it is. Yep. But you know it, so you suggest it in a way that you know you're right. Okay.
Wait a minute.
You
should,
play that part again where he said, like, just the part where he talks about the cheating, like, just up to that part.
Do we move on from the Astros booing?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. The idea that they were the only one doing something wrong just baffles me. But
okay, so there you have it. So he's saying that a lot of people were doing it.
Yeah.
Not just the Astros.
Right. That's what he's saying.
Do you believe that, Momo?
Yeah. I do.
You believe everybody had that sophistication.
I don't think everybody was as sophisticated as the Astros. I think a lot of people were doing as much as they could, right? Like, I think that there was a lot of people doing some version of that, and the Astros are just the team that got caught because they were probably the worst defenders. Like,
right, because they did it on the biggest stage.
It's like the Patriots, you know, and Spygate. I mean, I'm sure people
stuff. Patriots, that cheating legacy stance.
Yeah, that's going to be their
Spygate,
legacy.
Spygate, deflated footballs, that's all part of the Patriots' legacy. And this will, they'll never outrun this.
No way.
None of these guys will ever outrun it.
To me, it's the same as the steroids era, as all those guys. That is just how you look at their careers now.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this last night. The Astros were, as I looked at that team last night, the Astros were good enough. Remember, they had George Springer. They had Verlander. They had all those guys. They were good enough to win without cheating. And it's a little bit like Barry Bonds, who was good enough to be a Hall of Famer, but just wasn't satisfied with just being a Hall of Famer. It's like, why cheat if you're really good?
Well, I think it's that.
A-Rod, other same people thing. Were. A-Rod, fantastic. Why cheat if you're really good?
Because other people were. So because
everyone's cheating.
If everyone's cheating and you're not, then you're kind of like, why? You know, then it's, you look mortal.
It's like speeding. Everybody does it, but not everyone gets caught.
I refuse to believe that anybody else in Major League Baseball had as sophisticated a cheating scheme as the Astros did in 2017, and they did it on the biggest stage.
I think that a lot of people had schemes or other things that they were doing like this, but not anything as close. I think you're right. I think the Astros had the most sophisticated version. And if they didn't, part of the reason why the rest of just look at everybody's reactions. So if Joey Votto's reaction is like, well, I'm not going to completely tar and feather them because, I mean, there's other people doing it. I mean, he doesn't say, hey, I'm doing it, but if he knows of other people who were other teams, other players, like, you don't want to be people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? And I think that the rest of baseball, though, the Dodgers were deeply offended by what the Astros did.
Sure.
Yankees, the Red Sox, like, all the teams that played against the Astros, if they were actually doing the same thing themselves, you wouldn't have heard that kind of reaction.
I absolutely agree. And by the way, other players did come out. In fact, didn't Kershaw come out and say something? I'm trying to think which Dodgers. I think Kershaw came out and
said some stuff.
Justin Turner did. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't buy this argument that everybody was doing it. This is what the Astros are hiding behind. Oh, everybody was
doing it.
It's
like the sticky stuff.
We just got caught. It's like the sticky stuff. Exactly. I don't buy it.
You don't believe that all the other teams are cheating?
I don't believe that all the other teams had a cheating scheme like the Astros
did. There's cheating and then there's cheating.
Maybe they just didn't make it as obvious.
I just think that Astros pushed it. Okay, so let me give you, how do I use hypothetical
Actually, hold that thought, Mama. Okay. Hold that thought. We'll do that coming up. 877-710-ESPN. Anytime you want to jump in, 877-710-ESPN. Also coming up, Wheel of Questions. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah, I saw the video, Jorge. Last night we were all at the Dodger game.
Pictures,
I saw the video.
Man. Pictures, no video.
You with a Dodger dog, which you seem to think is totally fine.
It's
You're
fine.
Like the one guy that says, "Oh, it's just a
hot." It is a hot dog.
Farmer John.
Yeah, that's not the point of it.
Did you not hear Vin Scully all those years? Farmer John. Everybody loved Farmer John. I have no idea why. The Dodgers messed with success.
If the story doesn't come out, nobody knows this change happens. Okay,
Jorge. So then I'm with you, Jorge.
Right,
I'm with you.
Okay,
I think they're fine.
out of the three condiments, mustard, ketchup, or relish. I'm just going to put ketchup. I don't like mustard. I don't like relish.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's you know ketchup. What? I'm with you, too. If I had to make a choice between the three condiments, right. mustard, ketchup, or relish, ketchup is the number one.
Exactly.
So wait, then mustard,
I can live without
in,
relish. I can live without
Are you talking about in life?
No. At the stadium.
At the stadium.
We're talking
the
about a Dodger dog, not a hot dog. Hot dog, I put mayo, ketchup, onions, whatever. Like
mayo?
Yeah, done that too.
I've done it like that.
That's, yeah, no, yeah. It's mustard and onions. Mustard and onions goes on
No, you need
a,
both. You need
dog.
The like sweet and the tangy.
And then,
no,
hold on, let me finish. No, and then you got to put a little bit of jalapeno juice on there or a jalapeno on it, and you're good. That's
if you
dog.
Had to live, this isn't the wheel of questions, but if you had to, mayo, there's ketchup, mayo, relish,
condiment you
mustard.
Could not live without.
The condiment you could not live without. Which would it be?
Mayo for me.
Mayo.
Yeah, I really like mayo.
Really? Mm.
Oh, it's delicious. It's delicious.
It really is. It, like the more fat, the better.
But for me, it is 100% mustard. I could not live without mustard.
You know what? That's the Michalowski.
Wait, what else do you
huh?
put
That's
mustard on though?
I put it on. I put it on stew. Juan Pink makes this really cool stew. Yeah, makes this
I understand
really
that.
Cool stew called. What's a, it's a French stew. What's that called, Momo? You would know.
Ooh,
you're
a French
fancy.
Stew? I don't
French
know.
French stew with like sausage
Ratatouille?
And stuff.
Yeah, that's a good pull, Liz.
That's a good pull, yeah.
Good one.
Mustard is great on there.
Yeah,
I love it on burgers. I mean, mustard yeah,
mustard's
mustard
good.
Is my go-to condiment.
I would rank the condiments as mayo is an I cannot live without, then ketchup, then mustard.
Now I would go mustard, ketchup, mayo, and relish. Relish, I don't.
I like relish. Okay.
I don't get it.
I
the
like grilled thing. Onions a lot too, but is that a condiment
onions?
Or is that a
onions? Onions are so good.
I all grilled, right. not fresh. Grilled.
Okay, it is time for Wheel of Questions. That was not the question. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, let's spin the wheel, Jorge. And Oh, just missed a really tough one. All right. Here it is. How many times a day do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Ooh.
How many times a day do you look at yourself in the mirror, Momo?
A lot. like, I would say at least 5, maybe closer to 10 on some days.
10 times?
Well, I mean, are we counting brush? Okay, I look at myself
well,
in the mirror
because you go
in the morning.
On TV and you've got to look
but
in the mirror
a lot.
But
even when I don't, I look at myself in the mirror when I brush my teeth in the morning and at night. And then when I put my contacts in, and then throughout the day, there's a mirror in my bathroom. So every time I would like go in there, I would see myself in the mirror. And I definitely stop and look.
Yeah.
I check myself out quite a bit.
Jorge, what
oh,
about
gosh,
you?
Oh, gosh, I should have said that. That's
Jorge's been working
that's
out.
A
that's a drop. Jorge probably looks at himself in the mirror a lot because he's been working out.
No way, man. I just get out of the shower, brush my teeth, and then I'm on my way. That's it. I don't
do you look at everything?
I guess you have to. You
yeah,
know?
Right? Yeah. You got to look at all the curves. You
have at
to.
Some point, you've got no choice. At some point. Know, by the way, Jorge's lost a lot of weight. How much weight are you down?
12 pounds.
Yeah, I'm up 12 pounds, so I know exactly
I'm getting
where
that yeah, I was going. I was down, and then I was starting to climb back up, and now I'm leveling off. I'm trying to go back down again. I'm trying to
you know,
stop
my,
to it.
My weight during this pandemic went from 190 to 217 to 189.
Wow, 217 to 189. That's good, Mace.
And now I am at 212. So I'm almost back to my original high.
How long did it take you to go from
217
from the
to 189?
Both, from one extreme to the other. Like, how many months did it take you to gain the weight, and then how many did it take you to lose it?
It took 5 months to go from 217 to 189.
Uh-huh. That's good, though.
And it only took 3 months to go from 189 to 210. It's much easier to gain weight than it
For
is
real.
To lose
it's killing
weight.
Me, man.
Lindsay, what about you? How many times a day do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Probably, at least 10 times.
10 times?
Because, like, same thing Ramona said, you're when in the morning, whether I'm putting in contacts, brushing my teeth, whatever the case is. And then if I'm going anywhere, I need to, you know, look in the mirror. And then every single time you go to the restroom, you look in the mirror because there's a mirror there. And I have a lot of mirrors in my house because in my apartment because I love mirrors for decor. So I have like a big decorative mirror in my hallway. I have one in my entryway. So I have a lot of mirrors. So, you know, I guess I'm vain.
I play a lot of games with my son in the mirror, too. Like there's a lot. I mean, when he's like two, That's fun for hours.
Do you think he even understands what the mirror is?
Yeah, that was like a big discovery phase. It's about when they're about two is when they start to realize it's them in the mirror. It's not some other kid. Yeah.
Oh, it's adorable.
Oh, it's
when they
so cute.
Figure it out. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's fun to play with the little pointer for your dog? Oh,
I'm
really fun to play with your kid in the mirror.
Do you think dogs understand what mirrors are?
No, I don't. I think they think it's another dog.
Yeah, I do too. I think they walk up
100%.
The mirror like, oh, there's somebody just like me.
My dog always barks at his reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't be barking at himself, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I tell you this. You know, you think of me as vain. I'm actually not really vain.
Mm-hmm.
I try to not look at myself in the mirror, especially when I weigh 212. I don't want to see what that looks like. And I glance at myself, but I do not spend a lot of time looking in the mirror. Now, in fairness, I'm not leaving the house very much except to, you know, go, you know, to Starbucks and some other stuff. So I'm wearing a ball cap most of the time. But I'm not a big look at myself in the mirror guy. And we don't really have a lot of mirrors in the house. Bathroom, and that's it. We don't have mirrors as decor, Lynn.
Okay, well, I do.
So you know
how cool
I know it's
they make spaces look bigger.
So if you know how I know when it's time to go on a diet, when I'm ready to look at myself in the mirror, and when I'm ready to step on the scale.
Yeah.
Because there's a time when you're gaining weight and you know it, and you're like, oh, man.
You avoid the scale.
Yeah, you avoid it.
Yeah.
And you avoid the mirror and you don't like really check yourself out. You're like, I know, I can feel
I
it.
Know.
I don't want to. I know.
I don't need a mirror to verify the fact that I gained weight.
I mean, I literally had those three slices of pizza at 2 a.m. So like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to gain some weight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad eating those nachos and the hot dog last night. I feel so bad. Oh man.
Yeah, helmet nachos.
Yeah.
The best. That's all I ate last night was helmet nachos. And we refused to eat a Dodger dog.
You would gain weight tomorrow, though, because of all the sodium.
And
that's the problem.
For the record, it's not a lot of ketchup. It was only two individual packages of ketchup that I put on there. You know what I'm talking about, those little packages.
I know.
Those
little
packets of ketchup.
One.
I did two of those, and people are saying I, you know, smothered it or whatever.
No, it's a...
Two's a lot. Two's a lot. I think
it's
a lot.
No, it's not really. For a hot dog like that, no.
It's honestly...
Is it Super Dog or regular dog?
I got the regular hot dog, the Dodger dog.
My opinion of you dropped a little bit, Jorge, that you put ketchup on the hot dog. My opinion of you slightly dropped, that you don't get the ketchup
on
hot
dogs
thing.
You showed up late, fourth inning, man. I wouldn't be saying anything.
Who cares? Who cares what he puts on his hot dog?
Exactly.
Why do
I care
so much? It's none of anyone's business what someone puts on their hot dog. Who cares?
I'm not telling him
about you, though.
Can't. I'm just saying it changes the way I think about it.
Okay, but the picture doesn't show that I dipped it in my nachos with the chili and all the cheese on it. Come on, man. There's a different way of eating a hot dog.
Okay. All right. Agree to disagree. All right. Coming up next, there is a Jeopardy scandal. Not really a scandal.
Oh, yeah, it's a scandal, I think.
There's a huge Jeopardy disagreement.
Hullabaloo.
There you go. Thank you for joining us from the 1930s. That's a hullabaloo, I'll tell you.
You see?
All right, so we got that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, what's going on? Last night, Dodgers win. We were all there for it. And Max Scherzer made his debut with a big curtain call after 7 innings and 10 strikeouts. Dodgers beat the dirty, filthy, lying, cheating Astros. And the Angels are in town this weekend. Unfortunately for Dodger fans, no Shohei Ohtani on the mound this weekend. He threw last night and got a sixth win. He's 6-1 now with a 2.93 ERA. He's got 37 home runs. What an unbelievable story that is. But unfortunately, we won't get to see him throw this weekend at Dodger Stadium. All right, so Jeopardy is closing in on a deal to hire their next host. And it is a guy who I actually worked with when I was at a place called The Reels Channel. I was doing entertainment reporting. And his name is Mike Richards. He's the longtime executive producer of Jeopardy. And now we've seen all these different people host. We saw LeVar Burton, and we saw Mayim Bialik, and we saw, who else? We saw Katie Couric.
Aaron Rodgers. Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah, all these people.
Anderson Cooper.
I think that it was always going to be Mike Richards.
That's what it sounds like.
I think they knew in advance that Mike Richards was going to be the guy. He'd been there for a long time working with Alex Trebek as executive producer. And you know what? I think he's the right guy for the job.
Whoa.
But I am in the minority on this. Momo.
I don't understand at all why they played it like this. If you were always going to hire Mike, then you have to leak that. Because you have to leak that early and give people some time to get used to the idea. And then when he did his guest hosting version of this, there would have been a lot more eyeballs on him. But the way they set it up, it's like, let's get everybody all excited about these celebrity hosts. And then the one random guy who you don't really know who he is or have any, I think that he's even an option, is the one you're going to pick. And it just, it feels like from a media strategy standpoint, I think this was misplayed so terribly. I don't get it. The way you get people used to a new host is you leak something a little while, like Alex told him he should be the new host. Remember, there was a story about Alex saying who he thought the new host should be, and it wasn't Mike.
Is that true?
Yeah, Myland.
Who did he say it should be?
I'm gonna look it up.
By the way, of all the hosts,
this topic.
Of all the hosts, he actually had the highest ratings.
Mike?
Mike did.
When
yeah,
was
he
it,
had
though?
The highest ratings.
Well, wasn't he also the first replacement
he,
host
he
or the first fill-in?
Yeah, that's
he
why.
Was the first fill-in
that's
guy.
It, that's
yeah,
why, yeah.
Linz, how do you feel about Mike Richards as the next host of Jeopardy?
I don't...
Alex Faust.
I didn't
Alex
think,
Faust is who.
Yeah,
Alex
wasn't
Trebek
he like a play-by-play
this.
Guy for a one of the teams, like a hockey team?
I think he was the play-by-play guy for the Kings. That is who...
Yeah, that's probably it.
In a 2018 interview, Trebek told TMZ's Harvey Levin that he told his producers they should consider the broadcaster of the LA Kings for the job. At the time, that was a 29-year-old Alex Faust. He did hear about the compliment in 2008, shared this mess on social media. Yeah. I mean...
I don't think Alex Faust even got an audition.
No.
Yeah, I didn't see him on any of the fill-ins. I think it's kind of weird, though, that, first of all, he's a very handsome man.
Yeah.
He carries
he's
himself well.
He's a super nice guy. Yeah.
Right. He does a good job with the show. But I think maybe the reasoning is they want somebody that's super young that can do this for a really long time and do it into, like, their 80s or 90s or whatever.
Miami
like
Alex
Breck.
Is pretty young.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Miami Bialik. I thought Miami Bialik... aside from my, I thought Mayim Bialik was my favorite of the auditioners.
This is my other suspicion. They said advanced negotiations. So from a media strategy standpoint, this tells me two things. This is either a trial balloon, which is to say, we'll leak this and see how it plays. Right? You can leak this and see how it plays. And this is obviously not playing well at all. And then you can go in another direction. Or maybe it's just a way of lowballing whoever the expensive celebrity host they want. Maybe if it's Mayim or maybe LeVar Burton or whoever it is, maybe that person wants too much money.
I don't, you know, that's a job that you don't necessarily do for the money. I mean, obviously, Alex Trebek, unbelievably well paid and completely deserving of that. But if you're the starter host, I don't think you necessarily make a lot of money, no matter who you are. You just want the prestige of doing the job.
I honestly think if they pick him now after this reaction... I think so many longtime fans are going
to
turn out.
There's people that are threatening to boycott
yeah.
the show.
See,
I think they should go with LeVar Burton because A, he's fantastic. B, he's been trying to get this job, campaigning for it, whatever you want to say, for like 13 years, something like that. And he said that he kind of thinks he was like put on this earth to do this show.
Wow.
And I think in 2021 and, you know, with Alex Trebek, he did a great job. It's going to be hard to replace him. So I think they should switch it up. I think they need some diversity. I think they need somebody who's going to put a different spin on it instead of putting the same guy that's been executive producing the show for all these years. They should like mix it up a little bit, you know?
Do you really put a different spin than on Jeopardy? I mean, it's basically asking questions and answering them. I mean, it's not like
it would have like the same feel and voice to a degree where I feel like you don't want to try to be Alex Trebek. You need to make your own. You know, like be your own Jeopardy yeah. host and do your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said diversity. Yeah, it'd be refreshing to see a black guy host Jeopardy. It'd be cool to see a woman host Jeopardy.
And also, you got people so excited about this. Who would replace him? The idea of having all these guest hosts. Great, brilliant idea. I love it. I thought more people watched Jeopardy in the last year as we've been watching the guest hosts. And there was a talker every single time. And now to have it end up being the producer just picks himself?
So wait a minute. Along with the the production company and the people that run Jeopardy. I mean, he's the executive producer, but that doesn't mean
I know,
he's
yeah,
in charge
the
of
network,
the
production company,
the
all
network,
that,
all those people, So, oh, that's that guy.
Did we have anything of him actually hosting?
I'll look it up,
Mike.
I think
yeah, we do. I sent some to Jorge earlier.
Yeah, I think we'll have it. Mike Richards, who's just sort of down the middle. Are you upset by the selection, or at least the advanced negotiations with Mike Richards, the executive producer, to become the next host of Jeopardy?
Jorge's
who did
got
you
it.
Want to see?
Jorge's got
here
it.
Is a little bit of Mike Richards.
I'm Mike Richards, the executive producer of Jeopardy, and I'm hosting today and for the next 2 weeks to keep the greatest quiz show in the world going. Let's play Jeopardy and prove that nothing can stop this show. Sam, Natalie, and David, are you with me? Gordon Ramsay spoke for many when he said, in typical style, you don't put bleepin' this fruit on a pizza. Sam.
What is pineapple?
That's it. David Mayberry, a magnetics engineer from Richmond, Virginia, rode a 500-pound pig. Go on.
I'd like to do a different category.
Let me check the rules on that. No, we can't do that.
And I just want to say, as Alex said, we're trying to build a kinder and gentler society. And if we all pitch in just a little bit, we're going to get there. See you next time.
Oh, no.
That's very nice. You don't like that?
Trying too hard.
You think he's trying? I think he's down the middle. Well, by the way, that was the very first show.
Yeah, so the
that
beginning, okay,
in.
I get it. But the kinder, gentler Jeopardy, what was that all about?
Well, I think we need a kinder, gentler world.
No,
try. Don't you think we need a kinder, gentler world?
No, the reason why
Jeopardy?
Alex worked is that he had this seriousness to him and this gravitas. And then when he was funny, it was like once every 10 shows he was funny. And it was so funny because he was so serious all the time. I don't want pizza jokes on pineapple and pizza jokes in the first thing.
No, I think that was the question.
I know, but he wrote the question. He's the executive producer.
No, you honestly think he's writing the questions?
I think he's. I don't need to hear all the laugh lines.
Momo, you think he's writing the questions?
I think he supervises all of it.
Yeah, but somebody else is writing the questions.
No. He's the executive producer. Like everything essentially like goes through him.
Yeah.
You think he's writing the questions himself?
I don't need a kinder, gentler Jeopardy. It was tough to be first out of the gates there.
We'll open this. It's a little out of the box, but Mike Richards in advanced negotiations to be the host of Jeopardy. Is it the right choice, or do you think it should have been somebody else? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some calls on that. Plus, Momo, I want to get to the tweet and delete that LeBron James was involved in. Last night. It's fascinating. I'm not sure why he deleted it, but maybe you have
some
insight
theories.
On that.
I have some theories.
You have some insight on that. All right, that's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.